This is Guildcast, episode 16, for February 25th, 2006. Hey everybody, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and as you could tell by the intro song there, this show is all about running. That song was Run by Blackline, if you want to check them out. Of course, I'll have a link to them on the website on the show notes for today. And what I'm going to talk about today is everything from how to join a runner, how to get a runner, the etiquette for what to do while you're being run. I'll go over some of the skills that runners use, as far as mainly just the skills that actually make you speed up themselves, not any other skills that people may use in a runner's build, but just the fundamental speed building skills themselves. And also, Lady Sinea has her segment on Word of the Street, talks a little bit more about running. But I wanted to say hi to a few people I've been able to play with and talk to in the game this week. It includes Asterius Solius, The Greatest Good, Miss Kill 5, Kiki Butterfly, Bob's Your Uncle, BLG Hitter, Pencap, Tim of Lot, Toodles the Clown, and Shadow Pathos. And I'll be talking more about Shadow Pathos in a minute here. I thought I would go over something that was kind of interesting that just happened yesterday. If you've been in Thunderhead Keep, District 1 yesterday, then you know all about this. Or if you've read some of the forum, the message boards. Turns out that monks were going on strike yesterday at Thunderhead Keep. I think it started around 10 or 11 a.m. Eastern time, somewhere around there. And it's actually still going on now. I just went in there with my monk just to kind of check it out. And it's pretty ridiculous, I think. But at the same time, it's kind of funny. Basically what it is, let me give you the rundown. Monks in this strike are basically getting sick and tired of people who think that monks have unlimited energy and who think that if they run, 50 yards away from the rest of the group, that somehow a monk is still going to be able to heal them. And these are some big issues, like when these people die, when they do these things, and then they blame the monk for not healing, it kind of gets on people's nerves who play as a monk. And I've encountered this several times myself with my own monk. So I can understand that their point there. But at the same time, for this to be going on for so long, I think it's kind of silly. Now, if you've read the message board in the last couple days, you'll see that I just recently changed there's supposed to be a trivia contest last night, on Friday night. And due to some circumstances that I couldn't help, I had to postpone it until Sunday night, February 26th. So I'm hoping everyone will either read the message board or hear this in time to be able to realize that it's been moved. And what I'll do after this trivia contest is I'll have a Name That Place contest, which will take place in the message boards next week. And another thing I wanted to announce was I've created a new character for the sole purpose of conducting and hosting these contests now. And also he's going to act as a storage for the contest prizes and things like that. And his name is Guildcast, just like the show. And right now he's a level 1 Mesmer in Temple of Ages. I didn't really set out to make him level 1 in Temple of Ages. I just kind of went through really quick, and I all you really have to do in pre-searing is get the second profession quest, which the one that is probably the easiest is the Mesmer, since it's so close and all you have to do is go kill the bull. But I made this guy a primary Mesmer, so then I had to go make him, figure out an easy secondary that I could do really quick. And so I went ahead and I did the monk one, because that's pretty easy. You just protect Paulus. And he runs through the catacombs and runs back, and all you do is protect him, basically. So that's pretty easy. So I went ahead and did that. So he's a Mesmer monk. And when I got in Ascalon City, after I went through post, he was still level 1, although he's really close to level 2, because I didn't do any other missions but that secondary profession mission. And then I had to fight a little bit, between pre and post in that little battle you have to do there. Plus, there's the little PvP battle also. And I got a little bit of experience there, but not enough to make him level 2 yet. So, anyway, I was talking to someone at the time while I was doing this, and I had already decided to do it, but that was Shadow Pathos. He's telling me about how he can run. So I asked him if he'd be interested in running me from Ascalon City, the Temple of Ages. He said, sure. Well, here's the amazing part. The thing is he's a level 12 ranger, and he ran me from Ascalon City to Temple of Ages. So anybody who says that warriors are the only runners can take some tips from this guy. I think he did a really great job. He only died maybe 2-3 times, which is amazing when you think about it. And he's level 12. So many thanks to Shadow Pathos for doing that for me. And to me, it goes to show that it takes more than just level and armor in this game to be any good. It takes a lot of real skill, too, which he had. Now, some other things I wanted to talk about. There hasn't been an update yet this week, but there has been an update on the main GuildWars.com webpage. The World Championship went on last week, and the winner was the Last Pride Guild. And they beat out War Machine to be the Guild Wars World Champions. So congratulations to them. And if you want to check out more about it, go to the GuildWars.com website. There's a whole thing there. There's even Gail Gray has her own little diary where she goes day by day and talks about what happened. It's pretty interesting, actually. And there's some pictures on there of the whole event, and it's really interesting. So I would highly recommend checking that out. Also, there's been some more talk about some more interviews with Jeff Strain, who is one of the co-founders of ArenaNet. There's three articles, actually, and I'm going to have links to these on the website. And he talks a little bit about factions and you know, a lot of things that I've gone over before, and I think we all pretty much know. But one thing he talks about that has only been speculation until now is the fact that there's going to be another Chapter 3, I guess you could say, that'll be coming in another 6 months after Factions is released. So, you know, they've talked about that before, how there's going to be one every 6 months, but he's actually confirmed it now, that this next one is coming out in 6 months after Factions. And he also states that it's going to be so much better than Factions even is, right? And it hasn't even come out yet. So check out those links. I'll have them on the website. Also, I want to read over some emails. I don't have a lot that I'm going to read, but there's a couple that I wanted to point out really quick. First of all, I got an email from Tim, and he gives me a link to a GameSpot article about factions, and it has some nice movies on there. Plus, there's a little bit more information about factions if you want to check that out. And if you haven't already, check out the Factions trailer. It's an official trailer made by ArenaNet, and it's really interesting. It's a couple minutes long, and I'll have a link to that also on the website. And another email I got was from Lone Wolf of New York, which I read an email from him last week, and in this one he basically says, thank you for reading my email, and but he has another question. He wants to know, what is farming? He says, I hear you talk about it all the time, and I don't know what it is. Farming is basically, in the simplest terms, it's doing something over and over again to get an item that you know will drop. There's so many different places you can farm, like, say, Sorrow's Furnace. If you go to Sorrow's Furnace and you build a farming team, which is a team that you know will work well in that environment, in Sorrow's Furnace, then you can go down there and you can fight in that area because you know that greens will drop, or they, in theory, will drop. So you can go to this area and clear it, and then go back and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, so that you can get these green items to sell. Now, you can also do this in the new underworld. Well, there used to be the Ettins in North Krita Province, right outside the Ascalon settlement. You used to be able to go up there and farm, but I think ArenaNet has kind of nerfed that a little bit. But that used to be a nice place to get runes, where you could get some nice superior absorption runes or something like that and sell those. Another place is when the Icy Dragon Sword first came out. A lot of people were farming for that up in Mineral Springs. So you can see it's just basically doing something over and over again to get a drop that you know will drop. Now, the poll this last week was die-related in conjunction with the episode I had last week on dye, and the question was, in general, which is your favorite shade of dye? And with 33% of the vote, black won that one out. So 79 people voted in all. So I thank everyone for their participation in that poll, and there will be a new poll up after this episode is out concerning running. And one more thing I wanted to talk about before I change segments. On Tuesday is the Factions pre-order, so don't forget to go to your favorite retail store and get that pre-order. And I know, as sad as it sounds, I'll probably be going during my lunch hour to go get that pre-order. So I hope it doesn't take me longer than an hour. And you can actually, if you wanted to, you could actually order it now online, such as EB Games, places like that. So hopefully next week, on next episode, I'll be letting everyone know a little bit more about that.
Hey everyone, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the streets. First of all, I want to say thanks so much for the warm welcome that everyone's given me. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, feedback, or anything, I do want to hear about it. You can visit the Guildcast forums and post there, or you can email me at ladysinea@gmail.com. Sinea is spelled S as in Sirmia, I like Ice Tooth, N as in Nolani, A as in Ashford, E like Etten, and A as in Ascalon. Either posting on the forums or email is the easiest way to get a hold of me. In-game whispers usually won't get as much attention, because if I'm right in the middle of something, the whispers end up getting put on the back burner, and I may or may not answer them. I have more time to write back and fully reply to you if you shoot an email over to me instead. The other day, I got an in-game whisper from someone, and I didn't have much opportunity to talk to him, and I didn't even get a chance to write his name down, unfortunately. But he asked me a question that I didn't really have an answer to at the time. So later, I found the answer, and I posted a response to him on the Guildcast forums. After my last segment, in which I listed a few books you might like, some listeners posted their own favorites. Simdarth recommends Ancient Languages of Tyria, Volume 2, by Leetspeak, and I'm sure everyone knows how to spell that. The Fear of Trees, by Prince Rurik of Ascalon. On Strategy and Tactics, by Kilroy Stoneskin, and that's the funniest quest ever, by the way. Who Moved My Egg, by Glint. More Than Healers, by Menlo, Alicia, and Lena. And Infusion and You, by The Seer. Also, Wyvern King said that you can't forget Spider Husbandry, How to Care for Your New Dog-Sized Arachnid. So thanks for the recommendations. We may end up starting our own little book club here if this keeps up. Okay, the show's theme this week is running. Running can be a good, helpful thing, or it can just be used to what I feel is excess. A person can get run all the way to Thunderhead and get power leveled really fast up to level 20. But even if you just play the missions and don't do any of the side quests, you can still hit level 20 in like 2 days. Yeah, I know Gale said that they intentionally made the game so that it's possible to run places, and they're not going to take that away and make it impossible to run. But personally, I just think that's... I feel like such a hypocrite saying this because I used to love rushing people in D2, but Guild Wars is different. It's unique in that you can reskill your character if you want to switch attributes and such, so you don't have to make 4 elementalists, which I think is really nice. If you're going to pay for running or a power leveling service, the people who are skilled at it are really actually quite good, and they know what they're doing. Running is kind of like a specialized minigame, and the runners provide a service that's probably never going to fall out of demand. I'll admit that I have had a character run to Drox, but that was because there is a guy who is a new runner. I happened to be in Beacons, and he said he was testing out new skills and would just run it for free. So I went with him and bought my armor and gave him a nice tip. But then I went back and continued the game as it's intended to be played. If you do that and go through the missions, you end up hitting most of the major locales, and then there are really only a handful or so that are sort of out of the way that you have to travel to later. Some of the places that I found it's useful to hire a runner are the desert locations, either the mission cities or the smaller outposts. It's not too difficult to fight your way around the desert, but if you don't know exactly which way you're going, it can be really frustrating if you're, like, so close to the entrance of the next city and there's this huge chasm in your way, or you're up on a ledge that's too high and the door is way down there and you have to, like, find a way all the way back around to get down. So basically, you're paying someone who has familiarity with the area and will be able to get you there quicker without all the hassle and the frustration. You're paying for the convenience of it. TOA, Temple of Ages, is a common run, but you can usually find people who are running that for free. Oh, that's another thing. If you join a group where someone says that they're running for tips, be sure to tip them. They're helping you out, so give them a little something for the work and the time that they put in. Even if you think that it took them too long, or they died once or twice along the way or something, you should still tip them, because they did get you there, didn't they? So don't be cheap. Just give them something for their time. They didn't have to run you, so just show your appreciation and they'll respect you for that. Okay, other places that are often run, going to Granite Citadel, Copperhammer Mines, DWC, those are kind of far runs. I hate spending money that I don't have to, so the way I've done it is a combination of fighting there with henchies, fighting in a party of people that I know. I've had my monk run there once. So I've had one run there. And then if you have a warrior, you can try to run it yourself, or what I did was I half fought, half ran it myself with henchmen. I see a lot of adverts for mission runs, which is kind of silly, but the only one I think I'd actually consider would be that Elona Reach mission in the desert. That one's a pain. I've gotten close to giving up on that one and paying a runner, but I never actually have. One thing that I found helpful for that mission is find a warrior who knows where to go and what they're doing. If I go help anyone with that one, I always bring my warrior, and we fight for the first half and then just run the last bit. Another one you'll see is infusion runs. Don't pay for an infusion run. There are always plenty of people who want to go do it, so it's not hard to find a group that needs to go infuse their armor. Now, when you're getting a run, some people like to rush into a group of enemies and die, so that they can watch the runner as they travel. I usually just stay near the portal and wait. One thing you should do if you decide to hang out near the portal is don't leave and go AFK, because what can happen is if the runner dies and you're the only one still alive, everyone else has to either wait for you to come back or they leave you. They leave the game, and then you lose out on the run. So if you do have to leave your computer during the run, you may want to go and get your character killed and then let everyone know that you're stepping away for a minute, so at least that way they know. If you're doing something like an infusion run, if I have a caster-type character, I don't run along with the rest of the group. I mean, why should I have my fragile little Ellie get killed in the first 2 minutes because she can't withstand more than a few hits, and then suffer with having a death penalty and less energy when we have to fight later? So my advice for a caster is to just hang out, wait, and be patient, because you can't tell what's going on when you're sitting back there. So just sit tight and wait for the others to finish running. Another place that you don't really need to pay to get run is to Marhan's Grotto. It's really not all that far. Go with a group and run as fast as you can, and it's true that you're going to get slowed down by the monsters, but if you get far enough, your party will res at a shrine that's right next to the entrance, and then you're there. Oh, and Port Sledge. I see people wanting to get run to Port Sledge all the time. Unless it's because they're very low level and they want to get there fast so they can buy some particular skill, but otherwise, I can't see why anyone would need to pay someone for a run there. It's the easiest run ever. I took my monk and tried it a couple of nights ago just to make sure it can be done. I grabbed a bunch of henchmen as bait and then just ran and didn't cast any spells or anything. And you make it there, the monsters just leave you alone once you get to a certain point. It's really very close to Drox. Now, there's some places in regular quests that running can be very helpful. It's useful when you're doing things like some of the Titan quests. Like, if you try to start at the nearest outpost, you might only have a max of 6 people in your party. What you can do to get around this is you form a group in one town where you can have, say, 8 people in your party. Then you run to another town, which is closer to where the quest is, and then you'll see it in your party box that it'll say 8 of 6. This doesn't work with henchmen, though, only if you have actual players. Then you let everyone switch their skills from their running setups, and then use their usual damage skills, and then you go do the quest. Sometimes it's not worth it, though. Like, I've done Last Day Dawns both ways. Having a larger party with 2 monks made it easier, but it took forever to run. I also did it with just the 4-player party, and the way you do it is you make sure that you keep healing Adelburn's priest, so then it's like you have a bonus healer in your party. So if you have a good monk, that can be simpler than having to deal with running halfway across the continent. So all in all, there's a lot of places where it's really quite helpful to have a runner who knows what they're doing, And if you're willing to pay for the convenience, then it could save you a lot of time. So that's pretty much all I've got to say on the subject. Sean's going to be talking about how to run, what most of the common skills are, which you can use in combination. Because there's some skills like balanced stance, which cancel out when you try to use it with another. So it's important to know what works well with what. He's going to be talking about how to find a runner and such, so I'm just going to end off here. And until next time, this has been Lady Sinea giving you the word on the street.
Now for this basics of the game segment, I'll be going over the etiquette of being run. Now, when you're run in Guild Wars, it means a higher level character will actually use his best speed skills to run to the next city. Not actually fighting, but avoiding most combat, or outmaneuvering foes. From the way that Guild Wars is set up, it's possible for an entire party of characters to warp into the next zone or city, with only one member of that party actually reaching the zoning point. Now, for this reason, it's a pretty lucrative business to be made in running lower level characters throughout the more challenging areas of the Tyrion map. In this segment, I won't go over how to run, but instead I'll discuss what you should do while you're being run. Now let me just say first that running in this game is something that's not supported by the game developers, really. There's too many variables and chances to be scammed while you're being run, and it's basically cheating. So I just want to point that out, that they don't support it, and I'm not saying that I support it or that it should be supported, but this is just some advice on if you happen to choose that direction, what you should do. And although they don't really condone running, they do acknowledge its existence in the game. Gail Gray a few times has said that she acknowledges that running does occur. So that being said, I'll go over some of the basics. First off, when looking for a runner, you simply announce LFR, which is looking for runner, to Drox, or wherever you want to go. And make sure you do your research. Don't ask to be run to Marhan's Grotto from Henge of Dunravi. You try to find out what the popular starting spot is for being run to the city you'd like to go to. A perfect example of this is starting from Beacon's Perch and asking to be run to Drachner's Forge. Now, once you find a runner, make sure to establish your payment up front. Make sure you both understand exactly how much will be paid, and if it will be paid in segments, which segments you will be paying, and how much. It's hard to predict if you're going to be scammed by a runner, but as I've talked about in a previous episode of Guildcast, there are some warning signs. The most important one being that you should never pay up front before the run is complete. Some runners demand partial payment at certain points of the run, and agreeing to that is completely up to you. Now, once the run begins, most runners will be perfectly fine with you just sitting back and letting them earn their money. Some of them may ask you to run ahead and distract the first group of foes, letting them waste their hexes and spells on you so that he can run on by. But there's also the possibility that you may be simply getting in the way, and that's not a good thing. Another option is after the runner starts his run, you can jump ahead and suicide so that once you're dead, you can click on the runner's name in the party menu and actually watch his progress. This is a perfect way to watch and learn if you would ever be interested in becoming a runner yourself one day. And one last thing I'd like to point out really quick. There are several runners in the game who would be generous enough to run you for free, or even for tips. If you're lucky enough to find one of these, respect the fact that they're doing this for you. I've been with way too many groups where the runner is running for free, yet people insist on badmouthing him or her for no real reason. But before you break out with the noob or, oh my god, look for the worm, oh my god, you know, realize that he's doing something for you that you can't do yourself for free. Now in this skills and build segment, I'm going to be talking about the warrior running skills. Now let me just point out again that warriors aren't the only runners, like I said before. Even elementalists have some speed-enhancing skills themselves. But I'm just going to be talking about the warrior speed skills and only the warrior speed skills. I'm not going to be talking about runner builds, which could include hex breakers and stances. I'm simply going to be talking about the five skills for warriors that are made for enhancing speed and movement. The first one is charge. For 5 to 10 seconds, all allies in the area move 25% faster. This is an elite skill. This has an energy cost of 5, a recharge time of 20 seconds. Charge is the only speed-increasing skill that is a shout. It's useful for warriors who may use stances, as the speed boost is retained while using another stance. A good example of this is using charge and sprint at the same time. When you do this, it's possible to combine the two, allowing a warrior to move 33% faster for the duration of the two skills. When used in alternation, it can keep a party moving 25% faster all the time, allowing for the position advantage at the cost of damage. Now, this skill can be capped in Perdition Rock from the Flesh Golem boss, Balthazar's Cursed, and since it's an elite skill, it cannot be purchased. Now, next is Rush. For 8 to 18 seconds, you move 25% faster. This is a strength stance that uses no energy or conventional recharge time, but it does use 4 spikes or 80 points of adrenaline. Now, let me go quickly over what adrenaline is for future reference. Adrenaline fuels many warrior skills instead of energy. It is recharged every time a warrior hits or is struck in combat. There are also some spells and skills that increase the adrenal level. To break it down a bit, adrenaline is recharged at 25 points for every successful hit. You also gain 1 point of adrenaline for every 1% of health lost in combat. This lost health includes melee and ranged damage, but excludes health degeneration from conditions or hexes or spells like that. You'll know when your adrenaline skills are ready to use when they turn as bright as the other skills, and when they're not ready to use, they're dimmed out on your skill bar. Now, there's no quest to receive Rush, but you can buy it from Gamel and Copperhammer Mines or Dak and Ember Lightcamp. You can capture it from the Minotaur boss in Anvil Rock and the one in Frost Gate. You can capture it from Moo Swifthorn in the Taumark Wilderness, Ia Snickersnack in the Sage Lands, Stick Bark Ripper, and Flash Darkspine in Etten's Back, and Slownack Copperbark in the Iron Mines of Maladoon. The next skill I'll talk about is Sprint. For 8 to 13 seconds, you move 25% faster. This is a strength stance that has an energy cost of 5 and a recharge time of 20 seconds. Now, this is a good skill to be used in a runner's build where you wouldn't be fighting enough to gain the adrenaline for Rush. It can be obtained from the quest Military Matters in Old Ascalon. It can be purchased from Captain Osric in Yak's Bend and Dak in Ember Lightcamp. The next skill is Battle Rage. For 5 to 17 seconds, you move 25% faster and gain double adrenaline from attacks. Battle Rage ends if you use any non-attack skills. When Battle Rage ends, you lose all adrenaline. This is an elite strength stance that uses 4 strikes or 80 points of adrenaline. This can be capped from Smuk Foomboul in Snake Dance or Krog Smush in Talus Chute. This skill is rarely used in runner's builds as it's an elite skill, and since you can only have one elite skill on your skill bar at a time, Charge is the much preferred choice. This is mainly because of the fact that when Battle Rage ends, you lose all your adrenaline, and it also ends if you use any non-attack skills, which if you're a runner, you're going to be using all non-attack skills. So Battle Rage isn't a very good choice for a runner build. Bull's Charge is the next skill I'll be talking about. For 5 to 10 seconds, you move 25% faster than normal, and if you strike a fleeing foe in melee, that foe is knocked down. Bull's Charge ends if you use a skill. This is an elite skill. It has an energy cost of 5 and a recharge time of 20 seconds. It can be capped from Skin Takaru Manshredder in Perdition Rock. This, again, is rarely used in runner's builds because it's an elite skill, competing with the much preferred Charge, and the fact that it will end if you use another skill. About the only thing this skill is really good for, in my opinion, is chasing and knocking down a fleeing foe in the event that they may be running away from an area of effect spell like Fireball or Meteor Shower or something like that. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Guildcast. If you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at sean@guildcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for Lady Sinea, you can email her at ladysinea@gmail.com. You can check out the website at www.guildcast.com. Check out the message boards where we frequently talk about topics other than what I've talked about here on the podcast. You can also give me a call at the Guildcast voicemail number, which is 1206-666-GWEN or 4936. And until next week, tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.